With a new administration taking office against a backdrop of an ongoing pandemic and social unrest, health leaders will need to navigate a maze of politics, policy, and purpose in the months ahead. I'm Ben Isger.
And I'm Trina Sederos from PwC's Health Research Institute. Join us each week on our Next in Health podcast as we dive into policy changes, consumer wants and needs, and business trends impacting the health industry.
We take a sober, fact-based approach with enough vision for you to see the whole health ecosystem and enough detail to better understand how it all really works.
Subscribe and listen to PwC's Next in Health episodes at your convenience at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher.
Welcome to the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm Laura Dierda, an editor at Becker's Healthcare, and I'm thrilled to welcome John Kervink, Vice President of Finance and CFO of Grey Bruce Health Services in Ontario, Canada. John, it's a pleasure to have you here today. Now, could you please introduce yourself and tell us a bit about your background?
Sure, Laura. I started my career as a medical technologist, but ended up as a CPA. So that was a bit of a journey. I've worked across Canada and in the US and California as a CFO or controller. As you said, I'm Vice President of Finance and CFO here at Grey Bruce Health Services. A little bit about our organization, we're a 6-hospital system and deliver care across the Bruce Peninsula, which is north of Toronto geographically. We serve a market area of about 160,000 people, increases a lot more in the summer with all the tourists. Very touristy area. Net revenues for our system are about $200 million, and we have just under 2,000 employees working across our 6 campuses.
Fantastic. Well, we're really glad to have you and your expertise here. My first question is, what are your top priorities today, and how do you anticipate they'll change in the coming year?
Yeah, and that's a good question. Right now, getting through the pandemic, is our top priority. Got supply chain in my portfolio here. So I need to ensure we have enough PPE to get us through the pandemic until the vaccine arrives. And all the while ensuring we've got enough supplies, required for the ongoing operations of our system. So that's priority number one at the moment. We also need to juggle our bed capacity to ensure we can continue to deliver surgical services to our communities while keeping enough ICU capacity to look after those patients afflicted with COVID-19, because we certainly don't want to run out of ICU beds. And I guess lastly, in the spring, we're going to be commencing building a new hospital to replace one of our aging facilities. So that'll be my next priority, on the engineering and facilities side, which I've also got responsibility for in this organization.
Got it. That makes sense. And so really, if your priorities today are making sure that you're able to continue to care for your patients and keeping your staff safe during the pandemic, while at the same time having an eye for growth and, with the new construction, building a new hospital, making sure that you're keeping that on the forefront. How are you approaching growth over the next 5 years? How are you thinking about that?
Yeah, well, growth is certainly something that putting our minds towards. We've 5 of our hospitals are located in small rural communities, and then we have a regional hospital located in a small city, Owen Sound. So our area is growing because, and I think it's been exacerbated because of the pandemic, but we've got lots of people relocating from large urban centers like Greater Toronto Area and other large cities. So we need to ensure that our smaller hospitals kind of remain relevant and continue to deliver the full range of services, which is difficult, as you know, because of not having the economies of scale at a small hospital. So, that's how we're approaching growth. We're also developing a clinical plan, which is going to guide, our growth in targeted areas. We're looking at things for the regional center, like enhancing our cardiac program, renal, and mental health, which is certainly an important issue that needs to be dealt with. So that's, our approach to probably growth over the next 5 years, making sure our rural hospitals are healthy and providing services, which is important to the people that choose to live in these smaller communities. And then also making the regional center more robust in terms of the services we deliver and the breadth of service.
Got it. Thank you so much for going through that. It's very helpful. It sounds like you've got a lot of plans for the future and really being able to serve your patients and your communities. What are you most excited about right now, and what makes you the most nervous?
No, I thought that was a good, all the questions are good. I'm excited to see, you know, wider distribution of the vaccine across our area. And at the same time, I'm also nervous about that because of, because we rely on importing our vaccine from Belgium and elsewhere. And I'm nervous, due to all the supply chain issues that can arise between, point of manufacturer to actually getting it in the arms of our most vulnerable people. So that makes me nervous. I'm excited that, the vaccine's coming. It hasn't come to our area in a significant way yet, but our case count with COVID's been remarkably low in this area. So people are certainly following the orders of public health. So, and of course, I'm excited to be building a new hospital. I think that's great. And also, back to the clinical plan, it's, we've got a president and CEO that's visionary and wants to really take the organization forward. So I'm really looking forward to seeing, where we go for sure. Definitely excited about that.
Fantastic. And then my last question here is on leadership. What are your top three pieces of advice for aspiring leaders today?
Okay, my top three pieces of advice. I think my first piece of advice, Laura, would be, for leaders to be patient. Be patient and not jump ship if your career isn't progressing as quickly as you might like. I think, sometimes you need to age in place like fine wine in an organization. And if you do that, the opportunities will present themselves rather than, leaving and starting all over again in a new organization where you have to prove yourself. Looking back on my career, I think sometimes, if I had have been patient, the opportunities would have and were opening up. But I was so keen to move to the next step, I jumped. And, you wonder, gee, if you would have stayed, things would have worked out and you wouldn't have had, moving and all the things that come with, building your career. The second piece of advice, I think, is to develop your communication skills, both oral and written, and your listening skills. I'm a firm believer that if you're a good communicator and you've really been able to train yourself to listen effectively, your value is going to be noticed in the organization, and it's really going to help your advancement in your career in an organization. And I guess the last piece of advice is to make a concerted effort to really build relationships, across your organization and outside your organization, but build those relationships, with both clinical and non-clinical leaders. Really believe, don't burn bridges, in that relationship building, because I think the health sector is an incredibly small family, be it in the US or Canada in many ways. And I think a poor relationship at one point in your career can have a negative impact later on just because of how small our health family is. And you usually, end up working with someone in the future in a role. And if you've had bad relationships, that can come back and impact you because you'll have the person will have a preconceived idea of what you're like to work with. And maybe you've changed over time and grown as a leader, but build those relationships and try not to burn bridges if you can at all avoid it.
That's great advice, John. Being patient and not jumping ship too early from one organization to another is your point number one. Number two, developing communication skills. And then number three, making an effort to build relationships within your organization as well as on the outside with clinical and non-clinical leaders. I think that's all great advice in terms of making sure that you're able to advance and set yourself up in the best position for success. John, thank you so much for your time today. This has been a really fascinating discussion. I look forward to connecting with you again in the future.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure to speak with you, Laura.
With a new administration taking office against a backdrop of an ongoing pandemic and social unrest, health leaders will need to navigate a maze of politics, policy, and purpose in the months ahead. I'm Ben Isger.
And I'm Trina Sederos from PwC's Health Research Institute. Join us each week on our Next in Health podcast as we dive into policy changes, consumer wants and needs, and business trends impacting the health industry.
We take a sober, fact-based approach with enough vision for you to see the whole health ecosystem and enough detail to better understand how it all really works.
Subscribe and listen to PwC's Next in Health episodes at your convenience at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher.